it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Big House Bleachers Podcast.
Welcome to the Big House Bleachers Podcast, proud member of the Block M Podcast Network, brought to you by Fans First Sports. I'm Michael Smeltzer, the number one Michigan fan in all of the land. And I'm here with the number two Michigan fan in all of the land, Matt Hartwell. Sorry, buddy, I had to put you at number two. But I will say, number two is a pretty good number in Michigan football.
This is true. I'll take it.
All right. Well, as fans and members of the media and all of that good stuff, we have plenty to talk about. And as Justin Timberlake would say, it's May. And it's May has a very new connotation to it now for Michigan basketball fans. And so a little later in the episode, we're going to give our top five sleepers for the upcoming football season. But all of a sudden, it's exciting to be a Michigan basketball fan. So we're going to talk a little bit about some of the inner workings of what's going on with the basketball team. There was one guy we were just waiting on that would complete this squad, right? And actually, there's still one open scholarship remaining. Dusty May confirmed that today in his presser. A lot of really good stuff there. Our friend Kellen Voss was there, interviewing Dusty May. Good job, Kellen, and all of the Michigan media that were there today. So there is one open spot, but we all kind of knew there was one player that needed to be plugged into what we had already that would really make this team go from, you know, a bubble tournament team to sky is the limit Final Four championship, that, you know, that caliber. And that was Vlad Goldin, the 7-footer. He came out today. He didn't come out, you know, he came out today and said he was committing to the University of Michigan. So, Matt, how does adding this 7-footer to this roster that's already been assembled change things for Michigan?
Well, it just kind of completes that puzzle, Mike. I mean, coming from the product that we came from last basketball season, it just seemed like every transfer that Michigan accrued up to this point just made the team incrementally better. But Vlad Goldin, you know, really just kind of puts the starting pieces of the puzzle together, right? You know, there obviously still is a spot remaining. Hopefully Michigan can bring in another great impact player. I'm sure you and I will get into that. But, you know, I think the addition, the official addition of Vlad Golden really just kind of puts a very positive spin on, you know, a starting lineup that you can start to envision for this Michigan basketball team. Vlad Golden, very highly touted coming out of FAU. We needed a big boy down there in the middle. Vlad does that. He can shoot the three. He can be a big body down low. He gives this Michigan team really everything that they need going into next season. And he's one of the pieces that I'm most excited about observing going into next season.
Yeah, so a few comments about, well, first off, let's take a look at this roster, right? So we brought in Justin Pippen, son of Scottie Pippen, brought in Reuben Jones from North Texas, Danny Wolf from Yale, which, by the way, have you seen the pictures of Vlad and Danny Wolf standing next to each other in like the Twin Towers pose? Like, that's going to be some good Big Ten basketball. Trey Donaldson from Auburn, Roddy Gale Jr. from Ohio State, love getting one from Columbus, Sam Walters from Alabama, Lorenzo Kason, that's a high school commit, he was already kind of in the works to FAU, and I think the, you know, Mays coaching staff just redirected him to Ann Arbor, and then Vlad Golden. And so that leaves, I think from last year's team, that only leaves three that I'm thinking of right now. Jace Howard, who confirmed today that he will in fact be coming back. I know a lot of people, you know, there were mixed feelings about whether or not they wanted him back. I think he's a, you know, a big body, kind of a versatile like glue player that I've actually liked what Jace does on a basketball court. He's not going to start. He's maybe not even going to be in the 8 or 9 man rotation, but you know, I think he's a good guy to have on the roster. Namari Burnett, Namari's coming back, and Will Cheddar, the Cheddar Man, the Cheese Man. And I think when you look at the front court of this team and you look at guys like Cheddar, who's definitely going to get rotational minutes, maybe even work his way into a starting role, depending on how the power forward three guard situation pans out on this team. But May said in the presser today, he doesn't plan on starting Danny Wolf from Yale. So Danny Wolf is probably going to be a backup to Vlad Golden. And May even said that they were transparent with Wolf about this. The style of play that May's squad likes to play is up and down the floor, very fast paced. And so Vlad is probably only going to get about 25 minutes a game. And so, you know, you're going to see 15 minutes a game from Danny Wolf and maybe some overlap. Maybe we'll get them both on the floor at the same time. But I loved the way Dusty May was talking about playing those guys. He also talked about having pass first point guards and how that was really important to him, which we all know Doug McDaniel was an incredible player, but I wouldn't call him a pass first point guard. And so I think the DNA of this team is built to win basketball games.
Absolutely, buddy. And I think one of the most exciting aspects of this lineup that's kind of coming together for me is that you really have like three substantially experienced guys that all have starting experience coming off of your bench. You know, so it's very exciting as a Michigan fan, especially coming off of what we came from last year where bench play was non-existent. We had no help coming off the bench outside of, you know, a starting five that Juwan was able to put together on a nightly basis. So just the fact that Michigan enters into this season so deep and also with some of these, you know, young guys like Pippen and his FAU guy that's coming, that switched lanes from there coming to Michigan, Lorenzo Kason. I think that, you know, it's a very, very promising future for Michigan basketball, and which I'm very excited about. And, you know, you referenced Jace Howard, Namari Burnett, I'm actually excited that those guys are still going to be available, you know, to Michigan. They know what it's like to play here. And again, they have that experience starting in basketball games for Michigan. So at the very least, you know, you've got experienced guys on this team as potential reserves. So I think it's a very promising outlook for the incoming basketball season. Every positive thing that happens, like, I'm trying not to lose my fucking mind, like, we're winning the fucking natty, you know, but you know, just like I've said a few times already, coming from what we came from last year, it's all downhill from here. I think that there's some very positive things on the horizon for Dusty May and company.
No, Matt, you don't need to temper your expectations. Buy your tickets to the Final Four now, man. I'm like looking up, like, where's the Final Four next year? Am I going to be, you know, do I need to get plane tickets? What are we doing? No, I think that this is a really good squad. It's a really dynamic squad. Yes, there is a world that exists where it just doesn't meld well. It's a tough first year and he doesn't get things going. But man, I would be really surprised if this team doesn't, you know, I'm 100% certain that this team will double the number of wins they had last year. And I'm 90% certain they will triple the number of wins they had last year. I mean, when you only win 8 games, double that is what, 16? There's no way this roster doesn't win 16 games. I'm sorry. I don't, even if the Big Ten is the toughest league in the country, these guys are winning 16 games. And then, what, 3 times that is 24 games? Like, that actually might be what I would put, like, the over-under for this team is probably right around 24 games. I could see them being, you know, a 24-10 team that gets in with a 6 seed or something like that. And there is a very small chance that this team wins 4 times as many games as this Juwan team won last year. We're talking 32 wins. I'd have to double check, but I think the FAU squad that went to the Final Four won about that many games. And so, you know, anything's possible.
Anything is possible, man. One thing is for certain, I am so pumped for this incoming basketball season. You know, it was such a depressing end to last year, but at this point, I just can't wait to start watching some ball again.
A little side note, kind of a factoid that's interesting. Namari and Vlad, they were roommates their freshman year at Texas Tech, and now they're reunited on Michigan's team. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I just saw that scrolling on Twitter like an hour ago. But yeah, super cool fact. They were at Texas Tech as freshmen together. They were literally roommates, and so that just is one more little connection that, like, hey, maybe there's some chemistry there, right? Like, who knows? So that's Lorenzo good.
Lorenzo Kaysen, the incoming recruit from my Florida hometown down here.
No shit.
Not as important as the Burnett-Vlad connection, but, you know, almost up there.
Yeah. Maybe you guys unknowingly ran into each other at like a Wendy's when y'all were 12 years old or something. Who knows? You know, there's a connection there.
Absolutely.
All right. I digress here. Let's talk some football now. I think we've kind of exhausted the basketball thing. There will be one more addition. Dusty May said so. And so we'll see. We'll see who that is.
Have just talked basketball more within that segment than we did all of last year.
I'm going to be honest. We've been going for about 11 minutes now. I'm not sure if I watched 11 minutes of Michigan basketball after the big conference play started, you know. No, I'm just kidding. Unfortunately, I'm a helpless fan, and I watched nearly every minute of every game, but it's exciting to be a basketball fan at Michigan again. Pretty big recruiting week for our boy Sherrone Moore. Hit the transfer portal pretty hard. I love the Avery. How do you say his last name? Is it Gatch or Gack? I don't know. Gatch. I'm gonna go Gatch. Gatch. Okay. My money's on Gatch too. Well, Avery Gatch, I don't know how to pronounce your name, young man, but I do know you look incredible. Matt, I looked at some film of this guy. Did you look at any film by any chance?
Oh yeah. You know, anytime we get a commitment, I find a little video circulating on Twitter from however many months or years ago, just a little bit of tape I like to find and shoot out a welcome to Michigan post for that player. And I did post some for Avery Gatch. This guy was mowing guys over. He's going to fit right in, Mike.
He finishes every play almost like obnoxiously, you know, like the ball is on the other side of the field and this dude's pancaking a guy into the like opposite sideline. It looks like he lined up at right tackle every play that I saw. I watched his junior year highlight tapes. This dude had 90 pancakes, zero sacks allowed, and zero quarterback pressures allowed. I mean, this is a Michigan offensive lineman if I've ever seen one. This guy's got more pancakes than IHOP over here, dude.
If the guy is pushing defensive linemen for a solid 10, 15 yards and then tackling them to the ground, he immediately belongs with Michigan football. Avery Gatch is home in Ann Arbor. Happy to have you, young man.
One thing that I liked is there were a couple plays where he got out and was pushing the safety or the linebacker. You know, like he was getting out in space too, which was cool to see. So he's not just, you know, some of these guys in high school are just big and they can just like bully people. He is big, but he was not, that wasn't really what made him look impressive. Like he looked like a well-rounded, you know, fundamental offensive lineman. So it'll be interesting to watch him develop at Michigan. And then we have our three transfers. I don't know if we've talked about these guys. I think I remember talking about Zvada, the kicker, with you last week, but let's just run through all three of them. So Amarion Walker, got him back from Kentucky. I think when we spoke last week, there were rumors that that was going to happen. I think it got confirmed maybe a couple days later. So Amarion Walker, freak athlete, ends up transferring to Kentucky. And I'm sorry, not Kentucky, Ole Miss. Kentucky's just on my mind because those bastards are stealing everybody from Michigan.
Goddamn Clink.
Goddamn Clink. Get out of here. So Amarion Walker goes to Ole Miss. He doesn't even play a season. He's just there in the offseason. Comes back to Michigan. It appears as though he's transferring back as a wide receiver. And then we also land CJ Charleston, wide receiver out of Youngstown State. Not necessarily a big splash, big name kind of transfer, but you have a feeling that this coaching staff and maybe Kirk Campbell in particular saw something he liked out of this kid. Smaller guy, 6 foot, speedy, had good numbers, but not crazy numbers. So let's stop there and talk about the two receivers. Do you like that we went after receivers?
I do. You know, that was something that you and I had talked about in some of the weeks preceding this podcast, some previous episodes. Wide receiver was probably right at the top of my list for, you know, needed additions up to this point. I don't know if the addition of Charleston and Amarion Walker necessarily cap off what Sherrone Moore and company could do to the receiver room. I'd kind of still like to maybe see them go after just one more guy with experience, but we'll get to that in our later segment. But, you know, I think that Charleston gives you a good blend of experience. He's, I believe, 3 or 4 years into his collegiate career, if I'm not mistaken. Reeled in right around 500 receiving yards for Youngstown State. It was the number 3 receiver on the team, if I'm not mistaken. You know, Michigan doesn't throw the ball around a whole lot, but it's just kind of the lack of starting experience that scared me up to this point. So I think that they got what they needed in bringing him in. I think they get what they need in bringing Walker in, a guy with experience within the program. Just possibly would like to see maybe just a little bit more from that room, just for competition's sake, maybe.
Yeah, we all knew receiver was somewhere we needed to go. I was kind of hoping we'd get some, like, you know, like a taller guy, 6'4", 6'5". Like, it feels like that room needs a taller receiver. I you know, and I don't know. Maybe there's just not one available. How tall is Omarion? I'm assuming he's like maybe 6'2". I don't know. I need to look that up. But yeah, I was hoping for a taller receiver. I don't think we're going to add anybody else to that room. I feel like throwing two more guys in the mix, I think that that might be what we're looking at there. There's a, you know, a considerable number of receivers on the team now. There's just not a lot that give you a ton of confidence that that, you know, Tyler Morris, yes, very confident in him. Samaj Morgan and Fred Moore. Yeah, I mean, they're athletes and they're explosive, they're exciting. But depth is where you get a little bit nervous. And so Omarion and CJ definitely gives us depth. The other transfer that we landed from Arkansas State, Dominic Zvada. I think we talked about him last week, but the dude, I mean, barely ever misses. He's got
great
a
great kicker.
Cannon for a leg. So after watching Adam Samaha miss a field goal in the spring game, we all kind of like, yeah, maybe a little
down the goalposts.
Yeah, maybe we'll go get a kicker in the transfer portal. So that's good. Let's talk about what position group you would like to see Michigan add depth from, or maybe you just say, hey, I like the team, I want to leave it how it is. I have two position groups that I think Michigan should look at. One of them is maybe not realistic. The other one, I will scream from a mountaintop that we need depth at this one position. But I'll let you go first. What do you think?
Well, I'm going to go with the less obvious one to kick it off. I'm going to go with defensive line. I think that with Rashawn Benny, I don't know if any news has come out kind of particularly referencing his injury timeline or what that looks like. I don't think I've seen anything up to this point on that, but you think about what we have behind Kenneth Grant and Mason Graham, and you know, it's really not a whole lot, right? I mean, you have Trey Pierce who behind Benny, I think, is the leader of snaps after Rashawn Benny. So if we enter into this season with only KG, only Mason Graham in the middle, you know, it doesn't leave much, especially if like one of them's dealing with something on a week to week basis, you know, God forbid or anything like that. I think, you know, Michigan has a lot of promising young guys that they've been bringing up, like Cam Brandt and Eno Etta and guys like that. But you really want more of a blend of experience, you know, God forbid the unthinkable happens, you're dealing with an injury, or just for competition's sake. I think defensive line is a very important position that you need to add to. I saw that they had offered somebody, his name escapes me right this moment, but they had offered somebody, but he's got like 40 offers, this guy that I'm thinking of. So, I mean, that doesn't look too promising, but I think Sharon Moore and the defense definitely need to pursue a little bit more depth and talent in the middle.
I like that. That's not what I was thinking, because it, you know, you look at the starters in the middle of that D line and you think, well, that's the best in the country. But yeah, depth would be good. The position I think that we really need to look at is safety. I think we need depth at the safety position. We're like, you know, knock on wood, but we're one injury away from looking real slim back there. So you've got Makari Page, you've got Quentin Johnson, and then that's it, right? Keon Sab transferred, Rod Moore, ACL. So at that point, you know, Zeke Berry, you know, kind of comes into the mix. You start thinking about, are there any of these other cornerbacks that they mix in at safety? Not to say that these young guys can't come in and play. I'm about as high on Zeke Berry as anybody could possibly be. He might be like that dude, but you don't want to be depending on the last guy in your rotational depth chart to step up and make plays. You know, you really want like we had last year, where it was just a lot of padding, right? A lot of where you can have a guy that's third or fourth on the depth chart come in and still be a stud. And so if I would, if I were, you know, Wink and Sharone, and I'd be thinking about safety pretty hard.
Yeah. And for that reason, exactly, Mike, you know, my thought is that Zeke Berry won't end up playing that nickel spot that they say that he's competing for, just because, you know, who do you have to rotate in between Macari and Quinton if Berry isn't playing safety? You know, there's not much depth there at the safety position. You know, I love the idea of adding a little bit of electricity and youth there with Berry at that nickel spot. But, you know, my fear is just that that position group is already so thin safety that if you take him away from that, it could spell trouble later on down the road. So that's kind of why I've shied away from Zeke Berry to nickel up to this point, is just because of exactly what you said. You know, we're kind of razor thin right there at that position group. So I'd like to see them pursue someone else to kind of pad that, add some competition. Rod Moore just had surgery, and his injury is a perfect example, you know, of why you can't be too confident of, you know, what you have, even if guys that you have in place right now are vastly experienced. Anything can happen. You always want a reliable option that can step in. And that's exactly what that 2023 Michigan team had at all times, was somebody reliable that could step in at any point if somebody was dealing with something. And I think that's why it's important that that they touch on that. I'm going to still shy away from the obvious cornerback spot. I assume we'll talk about that soon. But there's one other position group that I think I'd like to see Michigan address, and it's right there within Grant Newsom's locker room: tackle, whether it be left tackle, right tackle. I think that, you know, obviously you have Miles Hinton, who steps in with a lot of experience from last year. But other than that, you know, you've got Gentry and Percy kind of duking it out to see who overtakes that tackle spot. And that's really not how Michigan's done things for the last couple of years. You know, they've had they've had upperclassmen, very experienced guys running the line, you know, running the show like for the majority of the season, allowing guys that are younger to be behind them, rotate in for some snaps, but also just sit back and learn. You know, Gentry, I think that he's got a lot of upside, a lot of potential, but tackle is such an important role on that line. I don't know if we want to rely on that and also an unproven Jeffrey Percy up to this point. Who knows? Maybe I'll eat my words. Both of them could end up being fucking stellar, best tackles in the world. Why haven't we started these guys sooner? But you never know. And for that reason, I think that another tackle being added to the line couldn't hurt.
I'm not as worried about offensive line, man. I don't know why. Yeah, we're not as deep as last year, but it feels to me like our O-line is going to be just fine. That's just how it feels to me. You got Grant Newsom coaching these guys. You got a lot of really competitive, big, talented players that were sitting behind a lot of really big, talented, competitive players that went to the NFL. And then you got Sharone Moore, who's an O-line guy, and you got to believe he's not going to overlook that position group. I mean, do you want to add talent? Yeah. You know, if somebody becomes available that you think you can land at Michigan, any position group, bring them in. But for me, safety is the spot you look at. And then I'm going to say it. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I would look at quarterback. I wouldn't necessarily go out like my head was on fire and go grab a guy that you don't know if he's a good culture fit. It's like, we've got guys that can play quarterback. I mean, Jack Tuttle can play the position. Alex Orji, he was making plays in the national championship. You know what I mean? Jaden Davis, top, like high profile recruit. Davis Warren, hey, he's been looking fantastic. We got guys that can play quarterback, but that's the biggest question mark on this team. It really is. I mean, I know that we can get in the weeds and get creative, but no. Like, if you told me that Michigan this year is going to have like an honorable mention all Big Ten quarterback, right? So that, you know, maybe the third or fourth best quarterback in the conference, I would say, oh shit, we're gonna win it all. You know what I mean? Like if we can just have that, right? Like, if we can have somebody that can show up and be Cade McNamara on this team, like, this defense is going to be really, really good. So to me, if a quarterback becomes available that you're pretty confident has the skill set that you need to win games and appears to be like a plug and play starter, then you get him. But the problem is, I don't think a quarterback becomes available this late in the recruiting cycle. I mean, at this point, the guys that were going to move around already moved around. The one guy I would want is if Kyle McCord decided to leave Syracuse. I would love to beat Ohio State with Kyle McCord. To me, that would be just about the best situation you can imagine. But you know, other than that, I just don't know who would become available. It's not like, you know, there's guys out there, you know, maybe like an Arch Manning decides to like dip out of Texas or something. Like, I just don't know.
I don't know, Mike. Have you seen Kyle McCord's dance moves?
I haven't. Is there like a video flying around or something?
Oh, there's all kinds of videos of the Ohio State dance parties last season.
I don't know
if we want Kyle McCord shooting the J in the Big House. I'll pass. But
that's right.
You know, I don't disagree with you about the quarterback position. The key words in everything that you just said is if one becomes available.
Right.
I've had this conversation with the Maize and Brew guys. I really don't think there's anybody out there or anybody that could potentially end up out there that that is better than what Michigan already has at their disposal right now. Now, you know, if, like you said, if somebody with, you know, some noticeable potential enters into the portal, then I would change my tune a little bit, but I just don't know if it's worth, you know, stirring things up even more when you've already got a whole host of guys that have already proven they can be average at least, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. You don't go get a mid quarterback and just drop him into that room, right? Like,
right.
You have to be like a top 20 quarterback. Yeah. Like if a top 20 quarterback in the country becomes available, you add him. If not, you don't touch them.
Exactly. I mean, we've already got a Jack Tuttle on the roster. You know, we've got like every type of, you know, bench warmer quarterback that you could possibly think up in your mind. Like every type of shape, size, and form of quarterback there is on Michigan's roster right now. If a top 20 guy becomes available, you go get that guy and let's go win the fucking natty. But other than that, like, I'm relatively happy with where things stand in retrospect of what's in the transfer portal right now. I'll leave it at that. But I'm going to go with cornerback for my last, you know, spot here. One of the more obvious needs for Michigan football up to this point. I was obnoxious last season as it pertained to the addition of a cornerback. Last year, I thought it was so important to us winning the natty. I was thinking about winning the natty. And
it was July. Josh Wallace. Yeah, yes. Josh Wallace was huge, man.
Yes. And once they started hosting Josh Wallace on campus, I knew that this was a guy that we needed, even if it was just for depth purposes. And regardless if Michigan has a second starting corner on this roster right now, I think the addition of another one is exactly what they need for this defense to contend the way that they want to. And corner isn't a position. I'm going to sound like a broken record. Like, if you listen to our podcast from last year, corner is not a position that you can afford to fuck around at. or else you end up with Ohio State waxing you on crossing routes all day long. You know what I mean? Circa mid 2010 era. And we don't want that. So I think bringing in some type of other corner onto this, into this locker room to compete with the guys that you have now is so critical to what Michigan wants to do defensively. I think this is a top unit in the country next year again. In fact, I know it is, but if they don't have somebody that can keep up on the outside with some of these other elite programs that are out there in college football with speedy receivers, it's going to be a dangerous recipe. So corner is an absolute need. I know that we've got Will Johnson. I know that we've got Jair Hill. I know that we've got Jaden McBurrows and like a whole host of DBs. But Will Johnson, you know, is not susceptible to injury. We've talked about that already a little bit on this pod. Jair Hill has very little experience. Same with McBurrows. You know, both of them have a healthy snap count for, you know, coming off of the bench last year. But you just need a Josh Wallace type guy that can step in and help this defense out right now.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Well, talking about stepping in and having big games. And by the way, Matt, I agree with you there. You can never have too many talented guys in the secondary. I mean, that's just the sketchiest place to be thin, for sure. Let's go ahead and look at next season. We've got a talented roster. Let's say nothing changes, and this is the roster we have. You and I are each going to name five sleepers on this team. And so, are we ranking these like 1 to 5? You want to go back and forth? We might have some overlap. You want to? We'll just go back and forth and each list one at a time. So we each prepared five sleepers for this team. I'll go ahead and jump in right now and start. This guy, you might say, well, this doesn't count. He's not a sleeper. I think this counts as a sleeper, even though he's a fifth-year senior.
Let's clarify the rules of sleepers here, because I think I think we feel like there's a lot of talk that's being had about like five or six singular guys on this football team, the stars, if you will. Mason Graham, Kenneth Grant, Will Johnson, Donovan Edwards, you know, guys like that.
I think Colston just, Loveland.
Yeah. Colston Loveland are obvious picks. They're obvious stars on this team. But then, you know, there's a lot of guys that just aren't talked about that are going to be very, very important to the success of this program. And really, I view anybody outside of like those five or six guys as sleepers up to this point. And I believe you're kind of on the same trail here.
Exactly. And I'm glad you, and it's really fun to reach like deep into the depth chart and grab somebody, but sometimes there's a sleeper that's just sitting in plain sight. And that's my first pick. I'm going to go with Makari Page. I think Makari Page is poised to have an incredible season. He's a guy that has had significant contributions to this team for years now. He's going to be a graduate this year. He's going to go into his fifth season. Even in the picture that Michigan football posted on Twitter, I don't know if you saw this, but it was like Donovan Edwards, Colston Loveland, Will Johnson, Mason Graham, Kenneth Grant, and then Makari Page right there. And you kind of forget like, oh yeah, he is one of these guys that's coming back to like, you know, try to defend this national title. And I think something changes a man when he's like the big man on campus, you know? And I think Mekari Page is going to have that big man on campus swagger this year. And everybody is just saying, oh, it's going to be the same old Mekari, you know, steady and whatever. But no, I think he's poised for a big year. So that's my first sleeper, Mekari Page, safety.
Absolutely. And I don't think that you're wrong in thinking of him as a sleeper. You know, he's always been a guy that's just been kind of in the shadow of Rod Moore, right? Back there at that safety position. You think Michigan safeties, immediately Rod Moore is usually the first guy that comes to mind. Even Keon Sabb last year, you could make a case for outperforming, you know, some of the things that Mekari did on the field. So I think that you're right on the money with that pick. I'm going to go down to the offensive line, right? Because this is a guy
All right.
that's been waiting in the shadows. He's been building up some momentum this offseason. There's been a lot of good shit said about him in media avails. Greg Crippen. It's Crippen time, baby. I think that this is a guy that has waited his turn for years, a true fucking Michigan man, right? A guy that that has not transferred, has not sought out another opportunity. He stuck it out, stuck with the process. He knows it's his time. And, you know, even there was a lot of talk last offseason about him and Drake Nugent going at it for the starting spot, even after Nugent transferred. I think Greg Crippen is going to be, you know, garnering a lot of attention this upcoming season as a top center in the country. So I'm going Greg Crippen with my first sleeper of the night.
Yeah, I mean, we've had guys win the you know, Remington and the Outland at Michigan. We've got Joe Moore award-winning teams, you know, offensive lines. And so I think Crippen has seen a lot of that, and he's learned from the best. And we have the best offensive line coach in the country as our head coach. And then I think Grant Newsom will become one of the best offensive line coaches in the country. And so you got a guy like Crippen. Excellent, excellent pick. I'm looking at my list here. I actually got more than five on my list, and I was just going to kind of see like which direction you went. I'm going to grab this guy because I don't want you to say him first. I think this is going to be a household name for Michigan families all around the country this year. You know, all the Michigan fans are going to know this name after this season. I'm going to go with my guy, Eno Etta. I think Eno Etta is going to burst onto the scene. I mean, for a couple of reasons. One, he's a talented guy and he's going to kill it. I think this is when he steps up. Two, it appears as though he can play all over that defensive line. And you got the interior and the exterior both needing like rotational players. I think Etta is I think they're going to move him around. I think he's going to back up, you know, what's his face, Derek Moore and Josiah Stewart. I think he's going to back up Kenneth Grant and Mason Graham. I think and you got to remember, like, we learned who Mason Graham was when Mozzie Smith and Chris Jenkins were on the team. You know what I mean? And so, like, there's room for one of those guys to really make a name for themselves. And I think this is the year Eno Etta truly becomes a household name.
Absolutely. And there's already been talk in media availability about them playing him on the outside and on the inside. So I think just with all of the spots that they're trying to find for him, you know, to be able to be on the field, I think that really says something about what he's done so far through spring ball. And I definitely think that we'll know who Eno Etta is early on this next season, specifically in the non-conference. I'm going to go to the linebacker position here for my second pick. I think that with Wink Martindale coming in, you know, he likes to utilize his linebackers very aggressively. He likes to bring a lot of pressure. We all know about Jayshon Barham. We know that he's going to be a great fit for this team, but I'm going to go a step beyond him, a step beyond Ernest Hausman. I'm going to go Jaden Hood. I think that this is a guy, he's a senior this year. I think he's another guy that's very similar to Crippen, right? He's been waiting his turn. He's been going through the process, kind of a very similar path to Greg Crippen almost. He saw the field quite a bit last year in rotational minutes. And I think Wink Martindale and his defensive scheme pushes Jaden Hood over the edge this year, and that Jaden Hood will become somebody that Michigan fans are talking a lot about in this upcoming season. I think he's the definition of a sleeper going into this year. There's already been, you know, a little bit of hype about him, but I think that that for somebody that's going to be probably like a third LB3 option, this guy's going to make a lot of noise for the defense this year.
I like that. I like that. I mean, I kind of, I almost see like, and I don't even know, I'm not tuned into this enough, but like, I almost see like TJ Guy kind of like falling back into a linebacker spot if Hausman and you know how sometimes they'll have that, the edge that kind of plays as like a linebacker hybrid. I almost feel like TJ Guy is that guy. I for some reason with Hausman and Barham, I feel like there's less room for another guy to make a name for himself, but maybe I'm wrong there. I thought you were going to say Jimmy Rolder for a second there. I was like, you can't do that after our spring draft. Like you're not allowed to pick Jimmy Rolder. All right. So my next name, I got to change this. I'm going to just say it though. I was going to say Kendrick Bell, cause I just love having a Bell on our team. But with the addition of Amarion Walker and CJ Charleston, it just seems less likely that this is the year we see Kendrick Bell. So I'm going to pass over that one. Another guy that we've talked about already, actually, I think it's very realistic that Jaden McBurrows becomes, you know, a star on this team. We look at the way that Mike Sainristil held down that position a year ago and became literally one of the greatest players in Michigan football history. Jaden McBurrows, I think, is primed in a very similar defense in a very similar position. And he's shown, you know, really great strides towards the back end of last year and in the spring game. It feels like he might be a star on this defense.
Completely agree. And really, you stole one of my options.
But
we've seen Jaden McBurrows in minuscule minutes last season, like make the hell out of some plays. So I can only imagine, especially after him learning under Mikey, filling in for Mikey during the times that he wasn't on the field, being on the field in garbage minutes. I think Jaden McBurrows knows what is expected from this secondary, and he's able to bring the same level of tenacity that Mike Sainristil was able to bring to the defense last year. So I think you're right on the money with that pick, buddy. I'm gonna go back to my spring game hype era here. I'm going to go Frederick Moore for my sleeper. And, you know, I reference him as being a sleeper just because of the recent additions, right, of Amarion Walker, CJ Charleston. You almost wonder with those additions, is Frederick Moore, you know, doomed to be cast off to the bench again? But, you know, when you look at the numbers from last season, Fred Moore, although he wasn't targeted a whole lot, was on the field for 37 less snaps than Samaj Morgan. So very similar to, you know, guys like Tyler Morris, Darius Clemens, when they were in Michigan's wide receiver rotation and weren't getting the ball a ton, but still, you know, were out there being utilized, making blocks, doing stuff that needed to be done at that position. I think Fred Moore, if given the opportunity, if allowed to be on the field enough, will be an answer for the wide receiver position for this Michigan offense. There's absolutely no shade to Samaj Morgan because I love that kid. I think that he's a star as well. But, you know, he lacks a little bit in size, something that you really want from, you know, some of your starting receivers. So I think Fred Moore, you know, is very different from the type of player that Tyler Morris is. He's less of a slot option, can serve as more of a deep threat if need be. He even carried the ball in the spring game, you know, this year. So I think that they're planning to dispatch him in a variety of different ways. And I think, you know, once he gets the opportunity to crack the rotation this year, he'll become more of a primary option than what people are thinking. So I'm going Fred Moore.
It really feels that way. I mean, I'm going to be really disappointed if he's like this year's spring guy that like never really comes to fruition. You know, he had like,
it's got to be, but, man, if you think he balled out last year in the spring game,
it feels like, it feels like he's ready. I'm with you there. I'm going to go back to the defensive line, man. I feel really good about this defense, and something tells me that Wink Martindale is going to have some pretty cool, you know, blitz packages, and the big uglies up front are going to be making some plays. I'm going to go with Trey Pierce. I think Trey Pierce has an opportunity to have a really big season. I think everybody knows Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant down there in the middle. Everybody knows Josiah Stewart and Derek Moore on the edges. To me, it just feels like Trey Pierce and Eno Etta become those other two guys that people, you know, really get familiar with in that front seven. I think Barham and Hausman hold it down and get a ton of snaps. I just feel like they're going to get a ton of snaps. They're like the junior Colson and Mike Barrett this year. And then up in the front, I think Trey Pierce gets involved and makes a lot of plays. At least I'm hopeful he does. So that's my next sleeper, Trey Pierce.
I love that. And, you know, with, like we've already talked about, with Rashawn Benny being hurt going into this next season, Trey Pierce, you know, brings a level of experience. You know, he already garnered some snaps last year in garbage time and in the non-conference. So I think that Trey Pierce is kind of a next man up if Michigan doesn't bring in some kind of transfer along that defensive line. I know they've got a lot of young guys with very promising futures ready to step up, but Trey Pierce is probably your next best option. And, you know, I think he's got a lot of promise, so I'll be excited if that can all kind of play itself out on the field this year. I'm going to stay along the defensive line. Technically, I'm going to go over to the edge. I'm going with, you've already referenced this guy on the pod tonight, I'm going with the guy, TJ Guy. I think this is somebody that Wink Martindale likes, has caught his attention a little bit. I think that he's a guy that can contribute. You know, I said guy a whole lot in that last sentence, but you already pointed to it yourself, Mike. I think that they'll probably fan him out, you know, in coverage if they need to. They'll use him to bring pressure if need be. I think that TJ Guy presents a lot of versatility for what Michigan's new defense will need. So TJ Guy is my next pick there.
You know, it's interesting. So I interviewed some fans when I was in Ann Arbor for the spring game for a little segment I'm doing, a little video segment I'm going to release later in the summer. And one of the questions I was asking them was, you know, is basically this question. It was like, who do you think is going to surprise some people? What player do you think is going to surprise some people? And, you know, most of these people I'm interviewing are casual fans. They're not, yeah, not like our listeners that are an hour deep into a podcast, you know, like, you know, and so you get a lot of, oh, Donovan Edwards and stuff, you know, stuff like that. But one of the names that came up more often than I expected was TJ Guy. And it for whatever reason, like the mob, the Michigan mob, like is familiar with TJ Guy. And so something's happening. Something's in the air with this guy.
He's a guy for sure.
He's a guy, my guy. Okay, I got one last one. Here we go. We talked about I'm reaching a little deeper into the bag for this one, man. It's fun to get a little deeper into the bag.
I'm reaching a little bit on my last one, so you're good.
All right. So We talked about these smaller receivers, right? And not having a big, tall person that can go up there and get some catches. Well, I think Michigan becomes a three-headed monster at tight end. It's very obvious that Colston Loveland is going to be the first head of that three-headed monster. I think we would all agree that it appears as though Marlon Klein is going to be involved quite a bit in this offense. Well, I think the third big, tall tight end that gets a lot of reps this season is Zach Marshall. I'm going to go with Zach Marshall as my final sleeper. I know that's a name that not a lot of people are as familiar with. He made a play or two in the spring game, but I think the spring game might have been a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of foreshadowing for how this offense is going to work. I think the tight end position is going to be crucial for a guy like Alex Orji, right? I mean, there's just no way around it when you got a quarterback that's, you know, trying to get his feet underneath them. Like, the tight ends really get involved. And so they're taller, they're bigger. I think that Zach Marshall carries himself in a way to where he's going to cement himself as a guy that gets some big blocks and gets some really big catches this season for Michigan.
I like that. And I like the hyper focus on the tight end position, just because, like you said, you know, there's not a whole lot that's been proven with Alex Orji's ability to, you know, connect on the deep ball. Like, we know he can hurl it, so we've heard, but I don't know if we've yet to see like a beautiful, you know, pass dropped perfectly in the breadbasket as the wide receiver's trotting into the end zone or right, anything like that up to this point. So that being said, I think you have to think that there's going to be a lot relying on, you know, the short passes to the tight ends. We already know Michigan has that in Loveland and Klein. I think that you're right about a third tight end emerging there and managing to accrue quite a bit of yardage. So I don't think you're off base at all. My last one, I'm reaching a little bit deep into the hat here. Some people will probably be like, who the hell is that? But, you know, this is a guy that played a lot in the non-conference last year while Will Johnson was injured. This was a guy that essentially stepped into his spot. And, you know, we didn't see him so much later in the season, but he still managed to accrue, I think, the third or fourth most snaps of any corners that finished out the year last year. I'm going with Keyshawn Harris.
Yeah.
A corner, a graduate for this Michigan program. You know, Michigan has a reputation for utilizing some of its older, more experienced guys, you know, in some of these types of situations, especially when they're lacking in depth as they are now. Keyshawn Harris is a guy that played pretty much all of Michigan's first three games last year. So I don't know if that will continue into this next season, if Michigan is still lacking depth at that position going into the year. But I think Keyshawn Harris is a guy that's stuck around for a long time. I think he's very experienced on this Michigan defense, and I think he deserves a shot to contribute and make some plays. So I'm going to go with Keyshawn Harris as a super duper sleeper here as my last pick.
Man, that's like the essence of this whole exercise. I think you nailed it. I almost brought him up earlier and I was like, I'm not even gonna, you know, bring him up. But that, like, that's what makes him such a good sleeper, is like nobody really talks about him, but he's out there making plays pretty regularly. And so I think that is a perfect pick for a sleeper. We said some good names, man. I think anybody that might be watching this or listening to this podcast that maybe knows a lot of these players but needed, you know, maybe an education on the two deep and some other rotational guys, I think this was a really good segment for them, because we got a lot of new faces on this team, you know, offense and defense. And so it's cool to get to dig into that a little bit. That about does it, man. I do want to share with everybody. So I've been working on something that's kind of fun for me. I'll be releasing with my company, Wolverine Chronicle, the top 100 Michigan football players of all time. So 100 days before the season starts. So that's, I believe it's May 23rd. So we're coming up here in just a couple weeks. I'll start with number 100, and then I'm going to release a guy, you know, every day. And so I know a lot of people do the countdown to the season. My version of the countdown to the season is going to be the 100 greatest Michigan players of all time. And I put a lot of thought, time, and energy into this. And Matt, well, I'm talking all time here. And, you know, Michigan's been playing football since the 1800s. And saying, I went all the way back and I looked at every single decade. So if anybody listening to this podcast is interested in that, get on X, the app formerly known as Twitter, X, and follow Wolverine Chronicle. The handle is at Wolverine Cron. That's at Wolverine Cron. I'll be starting around May 23rd, the top 100 Michigan players of all time.
And you are not lying, Mike. Listeners of this podcast, Mike has been going deep on Twitter, posting all kinds of polls, getting people's opinions, thoughts, throwing out some really, you know, comparable player options for this list. So I'm really excited, my friend, to see what you've come up with. I think this is going to be one of your best ones yet. Really excited to watch it all play out.
It's crazy because there's been so many good players that have played for Michigan. I'll come across a guy and I'm like, oh, he's top 100. And then I start trying to figure out where he lands. And I'm like, he doesn't even fit. Like, I can't even get him in the top 100. Like, you got guys that have, you know, won national championships and were like considerably good players on those teams. And you can't even get them into the top 100. So it'll be fun. I'll drum up a little more interest in the weeks, in the days coming before the countdown. But Matt, you got anything going on this week, man? What are you doing?
I'm just relaxing, man. You know, we're not closing in on football season, but we're kind of in this weird, you know, purgatory where, you know, it's not as far as it was, but it's still not exactly close. So at this point, I'm just spending a lot of time with my wife, with my kid, building a lot of furniture for our incoming baby, which I told you before the pod is due to arrive just before the start of football season. So not to worry, listeners, that will not interfere with your regular listening schedule. But nonetheless, something me and my fam are very excited about.
Well, if I got to fly solo for an episode because you're in the hospital or something, yeah, that'll be just fine, my friend. You see, your boys in Orlando almost pulled off a game 7 win, dude. That's just in your neck of the woods. We had Franz Wagner, Mo Wagner, Caleb Houston and Jet Howard all on Orlando. Franz was playing really well. I thought they were gonna win a series. And then fucking Caris LeVert comes in and has a really big game. So it was a fun game to watch as a Michigan fan because you got a little bit of everything. But
it's just too much Michigan greatness on the court, Mike.
So LeVert appears to be getting his ass kicked right now to the Celtics. So we'll see how that goes. But I think that about does it for our episode. Fantastic episode. We will be back next week. Thank you for listening. That is Matt Hartwell. I am Michael Smeltzer. And that was the Big House Bleachers podcast. As always, go blue.
Go blue.